What's up, weebs? Welcome to WeeaBoots, the only contemporary anime review podcast here on Gigaboots. I'm your host, Anime Danime, and with me is Bob.
Hey, guys.
Chris Wolfhart.
Hello.
And Dr. Agro.
Hey.
This time, as an excuse to not get barely any views and watch anime instead, we're reviewing Frieren Beyond Journey's End, the hot new anime from... Bob, we're jumping right into that segment.
Oh, wow, right to there. Madhouse.
Madhouse!
The studio known for Ninja Scroll, One Punch Man, and Galaxy Angel. That's what you know them for, right?
Yes, those three specifically and literally nothing else. If you told me they did one more anime, you would blow my mind.
What if I told you that the later seasons of Galaxy Angel as well?
Bob. Oh God.
You're not a good person.
Sweet God, how have you... I can't even host this show anymore. I'm falling apart. For people who've never watched this before, this is sort of our preview review series where we watch the first few episodes of the series. We were going to watch the first five episodes, but then we went, that ended in a place. So Bob and I watched the first six. How many episodes did you watch, Dr. Agro?
Also six.
And Chris?
Also six.
Yeah, five's not a good place to stop.
It really isn't.
Not in this case, no.
Oh, man. This series is really great, and I'd love to get into it. However, did you know we run a Bleach podcast? Do you like Bleach? We run a Bleach podcast. You should watch the Bleach podcast, Chuggy Bleach. Also, hey, Bob.
Yeah.
Who directed this anime?
This is directed by Keiichiro Saito.
Oh, I don't know who that is.
He directed Bocchi the Rock.
Bocchi the Rock directed this anime?
Yep. That's how sentences work.
That's his big thing. And then before that, he also did the Aka 13 Territory Inspection Department Regard, which is the OVA for that show.
For what show?
The one I just said.
Which one?
Aka 13 Territory Inspection Department Regards.
This is a bad anime you make up in an anime. That title is so bad.
It is. I watched the actual show, the regular TV show. That was good. So I assume the OVA is also good.
Oh, okay. That's cool. That's cool. How recent is that?
Within the last 10 years.
Oh, okay. So it's not Weeaboomers. Boomers.
No, not at all.
Weeaboomers, for people who don't know, is our vintage anime review podcast where we talk about Japanime. But we're here to talk about normal, contemporary anime like Frieren Beyond Journey's End. Bob.
What's up?
Let's get this last credit done before we really jump into talking about this. What's up with the original creator?
They made the manga, of course, of the same name.
It's based on a manga?
That's right.
What?
And they also worked on the manga Lonely Professor and Robot Girls Despair Like Utopia, which I think is just an auto-translation to Japanese. There isn't an official US title for this.
Okay, that makes sense. For people who are interested in Frieren and have just turned on this podcast, maybe your iPhone or smart TV or something has run rampant and just thrown this video into your face and you're like, I don't know what, who are these people and what is this anime? Help. Let's go ahead and talk about what the show is. You know RPGs? You know like D&D campaigns? You know like fantasy? Well, this is like, we have one of those quests as the background story of this anime because our main character is an elf who has an incredibly long lifespan. And that was 10 years. She went on a journey with a dwarf, a hero, and a corrupt priest, as she always says. And they vanquished the Devil King or what have you. And the story is about her starting to connect with other people and understand the meaning of time on a human scale because she was so desensitized by her elf life length.
Yeah, she has autism.
Oh, I was going to save that for a little bit, but yes, she absolutely does. I love it. I love it so much.
And then she picks up the apprentice that is one step less autistic than her, but still also autistic.
Which means she's basically got like four of a kind in this poker game. It's really fantastic. I love this main character. She's just like me, for real. It's really, really great watching her try to retrace her steps on her journey and understand the connection she had with people and what that means to her. And there's this fantastic bit where as she collects them all, which, you know, more evidence for the case being made.
What? No, what do you mean? That doesn't mean anything. Don't worry about it.
She's collecting all of the spells because it sure would be neat to have all the spells. She is correct in this assertion. She says the reason she does this is because a joker or a goofball, a numbnuts once told her she was pretty good at magic, and it was neat that she collected all these spells. So she will continue to do that. That person, by the way, is Himmel, the hero, which I love the names in this. I love that the priest's name is Hider. We get the Himmel the hero is like the phrase, right? I love that they have that. And then there's Eisen the dwarf. These characters are incredibly well fleshed out. I love this series.
Yeah, it's actually nice that they give them such simple names, but then really good backstories.
Mm-hmm.
Makes it pretty easy to remember everything that's going on, because they will frequently talk about different things and across different times, across 100 years or so of like, okay, we're flashing back here.
Yeah, they do a fantastic job of fleshing out these characters deeply. You know, there are a lot of series, a lot of things would have kept them pretty two-dimensional because they would have thought the importance was elsewhere. But since the series itself is about building relationships, the series is literally about relationships, which, you know, a family is kind of... So this is really about family.
Oh, thank God.
Finally, some family fiction. This series really is about that. So humanizing them, developing them, making them more than two-dimensional is an important step in that. And there's such cozy vibes to this as well that I'm just sitting here trembling, shaking, sweating, staring up at the ceiling at night going, how has no one made the AAA RPG that's this? The battling is so unimportant. The relationships, the towns, the places, the people... Helping people is the core importance. For example, she'll come up to a town she was in once upon her 10-year journey, and they have all these ships wrecked along the shore, ruining the image of the bay, which used to have a crystal clear water that reflected sunrise. And there's a ceremony there where they watch it on New Year's Day. And she'll take it upon herself to clean this up, to get a book, allegedly, but not really. And you just see that process play out. In the town in itself, and the relationship between her and her apprentice, Fern.
Yeah, Fern.
I'm like, I heard that name in the show, and I'm like, is it really spelt like I think it is? All right. But yeah, it's really great watching these situations play out. I'm so happy with this series. I think if there's one shortcoming, possible shortcoming, which I don't view it as one, but you can sure point at the screen and say it. It's like sometimes when battle picks up, they don't draw the details. It is like the dragon is far simpler for these 5 shots.
God, this looks so unbelievably good, though.
It does.
Yeah, even when it does the more simplistic dial, I really like the way it looks. Surprisingly, this has a separate action director than the regular director, which I did not write down.
Interesting.
Right?
Yeah, you know, in a traditional RPG, of course, the combat is the whole thing, and you would think this would be combat obsessed, but no, in this, it really is the combat will be solved by a huge energy beam or a huge attack. Right?
Like, this was the mage from the party that defeated the Demon King. That's not really we're not going up the Shonen ladder here.
No.
We're going back through the path so she can activate sense memories and try and figure out what social cues from 50 years ago meant.
Right. Yeah. Have you ever seen one of those comics where the guy's like, where just a guy is like sitting on the toilet? And he remembers being hit on, obviously, 20 years ago, and just has a whole episode sitting on the toilet. That's the entire series, but for her?
Yep.
It's so true.
It's so good, too. I mean, like, just the core concept of the series. Hey, this is a fantasy world where elves live a really, really long time. What's our twist? Oh, we're going to actually write the character like that's true.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So they live a really long time. That means they're pretentious, right? No, it would do more than that to you, but...
Like, oh, well, she's 500 years old, but she looks 16. How do we write her? Like, she's 16. Cool. Thanks. Awesome. I love elves in media. They're so good all the time.
Every time, right? Never misses.
10 out of 10.
Yeah, every single character has this really good background to them that gives them an emotional core and where they're coming from that is so good. And the moment I realized that for certain was the moment that as Hider starts to grow older, he admits his cowardice as it pertains to death, because he now has someone to care about. And all of these different layers of like, why did he do these kind things? Because Himmel would have done that. And that was important to him. In that moment, Himmel is living rent-free in his brain.
That line gets me every single time. Yeah. It's what Himmel would have done.
Yep. It's fantastic. You don't have to watch all the other bad fantasy anime to appreciate this, but oh my god, does it elevate it.
I mean, all those bad fantasy anime are why this was able to exist. It's so fucked up. Like, you can't have this without the bad stuff first, because it made fantasy profitable again.
It's so nice to come to this where you say it's like after an RPG happened, but it's not, the world feels like you expect something from like Record of Lord Arthur era.
Yes. Uh-huh.
Like the modern anime fantasy world, which is here are game mechanics, like video games. Yeah, literally
there's
every
no
other
game
level.
Mechanics in this.
Mm-hmm.
It's right.
And so nice coming back to a show that doesn't do that.
Yeah.
It's become so prevalent, and it always is just this giant kind of belief shattering thing.
I get to write whatever I want and then say, it's a video game.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's fantastic. And yeah, that is, you know, Record of Lodoss is a very good touch point for that, because it is a deeply realized, grounded reality that is just like fantasy.
Mm-hmm.
It is not the weird tropey, pulpy, we know you know what an RPG is, so we will just not even try with the world. Like, for example, what is his name? Zoltrix?
Yeah, I was going to say that whole backstory for how magic developed over the last 80 years was incredible.
Absolutely amazing moment.
We just have that dumped on us.
There's, I mean, it's very rare you get a, oh, he thought he was, but he ain't him moment, like Fern going, this is just regular offensive magic.
Well, yeah, imagine some dude comes out of fucking cryostasis from, like, 1850 and runs up with his fucking rifle you still have to, like, pack the powder into.
Right?
Yeah, it's like, absolutely.
And then he just gets, like, eradicated by a Gau cannon.
Yeah, literally just a shotgun to the chest.
Yeah, and that's yet another layer that it's so deeply considered that I absolutely adore with this series, and I'm gonna have to do everything in my power to not go read the entire manga while I'm waiting for these episodes.
Uh-huh.
Because this is bad, man. This is some of the worst it's ever been for weeaboots of there are only this many episodes. Oh god. I don't have it in me, because once again the main character is just like me for real. I don't have it in me to have a regular schedule where I do a thing.
I think what's going to make me not do that is how nice this looks. Like
it does look incredible.
Yeah.
It's madhouse like yeah. In their back.
It is madhouse like the icon.
I was skeptical this could be properly adapted, because it is such a vibe, and the paneling and the shots that are chosen in the manga are so still and specific that I didn't really think it was going to transfer to animation well. And this series fucking nailed it. I was astonished.
Yeah, they go on that journey into the woods that are haunted by a monster with spirits of the dead, seemingly. And the way they show them travel is something you don't see in anime a ton. Like, they're showing them move across the riverbed and jumping from rock to rock and moving considerately throughout. Not, we will go there, we are there.
Yeah, they do take a special note for weight in a lot of things. Like, even just the way they fly around feels heavy,
mm-hmm.
which is
mm-hmm.
always nice to see.
Yeah, it's so good. The momentum carried through on so many countless frames. Even someone turning has such good momentum to the animation. Like, so many times, because it's their favorite shot, I think, their favorite thing to draw, is either Fern or Frieden just turning ever so slightly to that 3/4 angle.
Yup.
Yep.
And it looks great
shot.
Every time they do it.
It's not easy.
I'm smashing the screen cap button every time. I'm like, perfect frame. This really is one of those animes where you watch it, and if you're a cinematographer or someone who likes to film or do photography at all, it really is inspirational when it comes to the tone of the editing, the shots themselves, and individually the compositions.
Yeah, they have some really neat stuff. Like, there is one shot that's just the dialogue scene when their friend, or Fern and Firin are in the bedroom. and they place the camera like so far down that Firin's knees are coming all the way up to her chin, basically.
Mm-hmm.
And it just is like, oh wow, that's a really interesting like actual shot you could get. And yeah, I never see anything like that.
Yeah, if you like drilled deeply into the floor in order to get a long enough lens.
Right.
Because yes, that is a possible shot, but you're literally going to have to go pretty far down to get that level of compressed space via a telephoto or something. Yeah, it is really cool. And that was another shot that stood out to me. There's so many. And the animation is so beautiful. So it's so fantastic for it to be these things visually we're describing, but also the subject material to be as beautiful and humanistic as it is.
Yeah. A lot of the episodes are like, they brought me to near tears or crying. Like they do a good job of nailing this. Just like, oh man, it's heartfelt, but it doesn't feel like a gut wrenching thing. It's just, oh yeah, it's legitimately sad.
Yeah. The word somber sort of approaches like the feeling here, but I feel like it just aims it a little bit sadder than should be described as.
Right.
Like the original title of this, I think the direct transliteration of like the title is Frieren at the Funeral. So somber's definitely the intent, but it really does nail it well. It's rare that an anime can overcome the inherent distaste I have for digital anime. Which is, I will watch digital anime, but I but it'll always have a little bit of a debuff. Just a little bit.
Yeah, this looks
gorgeous. But this looks nice enough that it overcomes that.
Yeah, a lot of stuff in recent years I feel like we're getting there. And this, I need to look at it more closely, but I feel like they might be doing filters over a lot like Megalobox does to make it look more like film.
I did feel like I saw film grain on the background.
Yeah, I feel like it is doing that, but it's hard to appreciate through the limited bit rate we're offered.
Yeah.
I would love to get this on Blu-ray. God knows, that'll take so long usually.
Well, this is where this is being dubbed, simu-dubbed. Usually that points to them doing one release somewhat quickly.
So like next week? Or...
Did anybody check out the dub?
Yes.
Yeah, actually, Bob had already seen the first episode a while ago, right, Bob?
Yeah, and I watched that when it first aired.
Subbed, obviously, because of that, right? So we watched episodes 1 through 5, I think.
Only first four.
Okay, only the first four dubbed, and then the last couple subbed. They have a pretty good cast in English.
Yeah, the main Firin, she's the voice of the stoic voice inside of the main character's head and reincarnated as slime. So it's kind of interesting playing a similarly stoic character who's walking around. It's like, this fits.
Corollary to this show's very deliberate, almost excessive pacing when it comes to action and scenes and how it just, it takes its time to show movement and that sort of thing, that I had completely misremembered the pacing of the first several chapters and thought there were many, many more. So we got to Stark and I'm like, wait, did we skip? We didn't skip anything. Oh my God, this is only like chapter 6. What the hell?
Yeah, it's fucked up, isn't it?
That's great.
Holy crap.
Honestly, the first few chapters have such a weird time dilation effect because they introduce you to the heroes part and you're like, oh, this is going to be her slowly like watching them grow older and like, oh, chapter 2, he's 80. Oh, that's not what this is going to be about, is it?
Yeah, they could have easily have done that. And it's so much better for them not rushing it.
Right. I was surprised how quickly Himmel aged and died. And then it took so much longer for Heiter.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Because when you see them younger, you assume that Heiter's the much older character. But now I'm like, well, maybe him will just look good into his like early 30s, and the Heiter didn't at all.
Look, some motherfuckers don't die. I mean, that was part of what Frieden said when she showed up. She was just like, man, corrupt priest just gets to live forever, right?
I do think it's funny how Himmel shrank.
Yes.
That he seemed like a dwarf.
Fantastic.
I have to wonder how long ago that happened. They do a second flashback later when he was going to visit the other village. It was already miniature. I'm like, oh man, it's been like this for 10 years.
I'm sure there's a curse or something that was cast upon him that no one noticed. You ever watch something that's so great in the moment and you're like, what a beautiful thing. And then a little bit of time passes, and then you go, oh, everything else is going to be so much worse now. I felt like that with Azoken and this. Like, Azoken's so beautiful in a lot of what it's doing, and this is too, and they're very different things, but oh my god.
See, this is why I tell people, you can't just go to the 5-star anime restaurant and tell them to bring out the best, because that just ruins the rest of your life. You got to belly up to the buffet and scoop a little bit of everything.
And that's why, after you're done listening to this episode, you have to go listen to our episode on World's End Harem. Oh. We were just as praising, I assure you, because it's definitely a good anime.
Uh-huh. I think it's interesting that this did the long premiere, like a few shows have done recently, like Oshinoko. But each episode is still so separated. Like, it feels like they didn't turn it into a movie or anything. It's just like, no, there are 4 episodes.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas, like, with Oshinoko, they literally, it's an entire film. And it's almost entirely different from the stuff after it. Or is this really smoothly flowed from premiere into episodes?
Yes, it mostly flows in an indistinct way, but you really can feel when episode 5 ends and it didn't tell a whole story.
That's true. Whereas, they do have the hook.
Whereas, yeah, I think every other episode's both a flowing narrative and fully self-contained. 5 ends with that hook right in my mouth, as though I wasn't hooked already.
Do we know how long this season's going to be?
2 core, so it's 26.
Wow. Oh, thank wow. God. Yeah. Oh, man, we're going for it.
Right? We don't do that anymore.
This shit is unbelievably popular over in Japan. Like, they already have figures, contracts signed for figures. It's already sold over 10 million copies, which is huge for something that has only been running for like 3 years.
Or, as somebody might say, very believably popular, if you've seen it.
Like, I've read up through, like, chapter 77, I think, because the Viz app is a piece of shit and has a bunch of missing chapters they haven't filled in months, so I stopped paying for it.
Yeah.
Yeah, they sure like sucking ass in that way.
Yeah, they really do. And this series, it never runs out of gas.
That's insane, because when, in the episodes here, we get to them talking about, yeah, we're going to go on another 10-year journey, it was like, oh my god, how big is this?
Right? Like, it's one of those moments where it could be comedic or it could be horrifying, when Fern's actual concern talking to other humans is like, no, you don't understand. If she gets distracted or lazy, we could be here for the next 2 to 5 years.
Yeah.
God, how many months did they spend looking for the flowers?
6+.
Oh. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and that's the thing. Like, that's a very interesting angle, because a lot of the story told up to Fern getting older is told through this perspective, the viewpoint of Frieden. So the moment you hear the first drop of, we've been searching for flowers for 6 months, it's just like, oh, Jesus. That's, oh my God.
Yup.
She's like that the whole, like, through all 6 of these episodes, that is just who Frieden is. She has that moment where she's just like, I was hoping to take my time in this town. Like, my God. You know how morbid that sounds to everyone but you? She's...
It's not saying even at that town specifically. It's just that she wants to sit there and do nothing.
She loves taking her time. That's all.
Yes.
You know, she's inadvertently a time vampire in a sense. She doesn't mean to do that to the people around her, but, you know, she can't read their emotions.
Yeah, it's like her inability to gauge how valuable time is to humans is one of the most beautiful and perfect metaphors for being completely unable to read social cues or understand other people's emotions I've ever seen.
Mm-hmm. No, that was a perfect fucking match to just be like, a representation of people on the spectrum as an elf is a perfect fucking match. See, whereas I may watch something, some people may watch something like Watamote and be like, this is me for real, and then run. This is cozy. They're like, this is like me for real. And then they feel good inside. They don't immediately start running and screaming.
They're like, maybe in 50 years I'll understand.
Hey, you know what? That's optimism. I like that.
Right.
Yeah. I genuinely do feel like it's pretty incredible that they did that with the character. It feels so great. I also really love when Fern's like, why are you being so cooperative? I'm not used to people just assessing the situation the same way I do and trying to fix it. Yeah, no, she's been trapped with Freerun for years.
Yeah, I assume that has to have messed her up in a lot of ways that we will see in the coming episodes.
Uh-huh. It's like at this point in the story, I think she's been with her 10 years. Is that it?
She said it's been half of her life. And I think
Okay, so then that... Well, wait, when did she... Okay, I think she said that late enough where that would be roughly accurate still. So, yeah, it would be 8 years because she's 16.
Right.
Yeah, that would mess you up. I hope you got plenty of normal experiences now that you're at the ripe age of 8.
Right. And then, like, moving on from this point, you're going to get a lot of great stuff between Fern and Stark, who were both children raised in strange circumstances, now having to relate to each other with only Freerun to play referee.
An amazing social dynamic.
Yeah, I'm sure that's going to be great.
Stark is so good. He's so simple and so good.
Yeah.
As a character. I love his backstory where, you know, they condensed an entire season of, whoops, this guy's actually super badass into one episode.
I enjoy how even the dwarf is like, no, my lifespan is nowhere near yours, Freerun. I'm normal.
Right? She's like, Aizen, you know what I'm talking about? No. Look at me. Look past the beard. Look at my withered arm.
I've been an old man the entire time we've known each other.
So now comes the moment on Weeaboots where we tell you whether or not we would recommend watching this anime. This is going to be a hard one. Hey, Chris, do you recommend people watch Freerun Beyond Journey's End?
Yes.
Hey, Bob, do you recommend people watch Freerun Beyond Journey's End?
Yeah, it's kind of incredible.
Dr. Agra?
Yeah, I picked this manga out cold on the Viz app and didn't know they were making an anime, and it's like a good adaptation. This is a fucking miracle.
It is.
Yes.
Yeah, miracle is the correct word. Anime like this don't come along very often. This is absolutely incredible. And I highly recommend it. I'm not sure if that came across in this entire review, but it's good, actually. No. This is one. No, unlike most anime, this one's the good one. You can trust me. I watch Bleach for a living. It's okay. We escaped the Shusuke Amagai filler arc.
Yeah, out of the frying pan and into the other frying pan. It's just frying pans all the way down.